The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, my close colleague from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
1/8 into the term.
I love the way you chop it up. That just feels good to say.
Yeah, 2/16.
Winter at the door. Are you ready, Kendra?
Well, we actually need to go to Lowe's and get some replacement blades for a snowblower. But besides that, we're ready.
Okay.
Replacement blades?
We're using it to sort gravel.
There are different types of snowblowers. There's some that go closer to the ground. I don't know if it's that. Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not really a snowblower expert.
Okay.
I feel unprepared to comment at this time.
I don't have to face these wild accusations.
That's right.
Continuing around the table, Professor Stephanie Conant is here from the Department of Biology. Stephanie, you said you saw Jim lecturing, but that's not a class you're teaching anymore.
I'm not, no. It's someone else is teaching it. But yeah, we have a biology and social issues class, and he comes and nicely gives a little ethics primer
Okay.
Students at the beginning of the semester, is great because he's super fun to have in class.
Mr. Expert.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, it's going to come up that he's recently announced that 2019 will be his last with the university. So we're going to milk every minute that we have with Jim here on the show before he rides off into the sunset.
All we have to do is seal the door shut.
He's preening his protege to take over the department. And then we got to get Todd to come to the show, you know? Oh, yeah, you will.
I hold something over that man.
Hold it over his
head. Oh, you want parking, do you, Todd Hibbert? Fat chance. Maybe I'll let your wife in.
Stephanie, you're teaching immunology this semester.
Yep.
Your forte.
Yep.
Excellent.
Super fun. I find it fun. They do not so much, but I
think it's students.
Thoroughly entertaining.
Come on, those students. They don't even know how good they got it.
They look at me like my head's spinning around.
That would keep their attention.
Is your head actually spinning?
No.
Did you roll that out?
I mean, I do talk fast because I get excited and we're like, you know, and then this is happening and this happened. And then I get blank stares and then I'm like, just remind me to stop talking.
I've seen the blank stares myself.
Well, way across the table from me, Professor Joe Avocet is here from the Department of Communication Studies. How has your semester started, Joe?
It's gone really good. I'm doing an overload.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's been really good.
Is this the now 57th different kind of course that you're teaching for your department this semester?
No, actually, this semester, all the courses I've taught them before.
Oh,
so I have a couple of sections of the CST 1010 course and then the public opinion course, which is more of a theory course. And I really enjoy that course. So I'm happy to be teaching it. And we'll see what type of semester it is. But so far, so good.
Good. Yeah, I'm sorry there isn't anything in the popular news these days to keep courses like that going, but if you just wait around, I'm sure something will happen.
No. We'll try to move to celebrity or sports instead.
We'll just talk about Titan games for an hour. That's awesome.
There you go. I can't help but mention this one because it's the biggest LOL of my entire week, but the now iconic image of the president, 45th president, with his arms open, with the highly organized fast food on the table in the White House, but the classic, just unbelievably iconic image of thoughtful Lincoln behind him. And someone tweeted out the image going, this is exactly the sort of thing that I would expect to see if sometime in the future I invent time travel and come back and I see this image like, oh no, like my grandfather's not going to be born. Like something's out of whack. Something clearly is messed up and I have to go back. I have to go back and change something. Like how did the McDonald's get to the White House? I just don't understand.
I just want to know how he kept it all warm.
That's what I keep thinking. There's no way they wanted to eat that.
Yeah, it's cold.
Stuff goes bad quick.
I'm wondering if it was photoshopped.
No, it wasn't.
My first thought was really that athletes like that don't eat.
No, not at all.
That's true. No, that is absolutely true.
Not at all.
At that level.
Maybe professional athletes.
Yeah.
I don't think college athletes.
There was definitely a track athlete that, like, before her gold medal in the Olympics, went out and got some chicken McNuggets. I can't remember for sure. It was in the era of Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
And I guess technically they were done with the season, right?
Yeah.
Because they won.
Oh, that's
maybe they were binging.
But then imagine what that would do to your system if you haven't done that all season long.
No, it's true.
Now is my time to do 4 Big Macs.
Yeah. But then you have a good story to tell because you did it in the White House.
Season long, though.
So
are you really ruling that out? That they don't?
No,
they
I'm
don't
just
have...
saying I don't think it's something that's recommended as training when they're training.
No, it's not recommended.
But unless you want to put on like 400 extra pounds. I mean,
I don't know.
The linebackers, just, maybe.
We couldn't have put all these phrases in like a boggle shaker and then shaken it and just taken them out randomly and make weirder things happen. We just couldn't.
I mean, I cringe for editorial cartoonists because how in the world do you even make fun of this?
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, that's tough.
I mean, SNL, I mean, you've got to really work hard to come up with stuff like this.
Well, it's true. So. It's true. It doesn't get any weirder. and those, of course, are the hardcore political opinions of Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here in America as a Canadian, that's all.
So. As always.
As always. Remember, I'm building the wall.
Oh, yes.
I'll gladly pay for it.
You've got choices.
Yes, I have choices. I have options.
Unbelievable. Well, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. It occurs to me because I like to bait you. It's been a while since we've had some good questions about fast food. And if you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. Before we get to this week's questions, I have a correction that I need to levy because I got a text the other day from my mother.
Uh-oh.
Matt, we've been listening, and I didn't have a charger. I had a Firebird. It was a 79 Firebird. I'm sorry, Mom. She sent me the photos.
Nice. I was waiting for her to send, like, the VIN number and a hubcap.
Almost.
And...
because, of course, the one part that I did get right telling that story, oh, yes. We had to say goodbye to that car because you were born. We blame you. Because the kid seat did not fit in the back of the two-door.
Wait a minute. You were actually old enough to be put into a
kid seat?
Yeah.
Here?
Oh, man. Didn't it was like a plastic like shell of death. Right. I mean, my grandma bragged all those times. I brought every one of my kids home in my arms. No seatbelt, front seat, you know, no airbag.
We just put them on the roof.
Yep, exactly. Strap them down with some bungee cords.
Strap?
Oh, man. We've got some questions here. One of our last sets, Kendra, from your student Hayden Cunningham, who is a chemistry major at University of Detroit Mercy. It's a little potpourri.
Is he also a history major?
He is also a history major. I'm glad you reminded me. He is a history major, a BA, BS, double major, possibly BA, BA. Who knows? Let's see how it works out. What is the name of the first artificial sweetener that apparently was used by Romans specifically to sweeten wine?
Saccharin?
It wasn't saccharin. It was actually an inorganic compound.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Yeah, it's one of the main components of the old school 60s, 70s, 80s era, mostly male hair coloring that you'd put in, if you know anything about that.
I have no idea what they did.
They called it sugar of lead. It was actually lead acetate. Yeah, pretty nasty stuff.
Super healthy.
And you shouldn't put that on your scalp, nor your insides.
But it tastes sweet.
Wow, but they didn't gain weight, though.
Oh, no, I don't think
they sugar-free. Feed from the inside out, though.
Yeah. They may have lost weight.
Were they even aware of weight loss back then?
No.
People were living to 29 and being accused of being old. So, you know, I don't
heresy.
Think so.
They're worried about
You're older than 35. God. You must be a witch.
The destruction of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor kickstarted what American conflict?
Spanish-American War.
Spanish-American War, absolutely. There is a monument to the Spanish-American War in Birmingham, Michigan. Feel free to check it out sometime in Greenwood Cemetery. What is the name of the drug that was aimed to help pregnant women with morning sickness, but instead led to numerous cases of deformations in babies?
It was...
Started with the letter T.
Yeah,
no.
I know.
They were called flipper babies. They were born with little stubs instead of limbs.
Oh, I'm gonna be so mad.
This is organic chemistry. This is you organic talk about chemistry. This one organic?
Hold on. We're watching stuff in Writhe in the Winter.
It's a nausea medication. Tetra.
Tutankhamun, what? Something.
The name of the compound is thalidomide.
Thalidomide.
Yes. Okay, you can sleep soundly tonight.
Yes, I use that for a little bit of social responsibility, considering it's a separation of two forms of the compound. One of them does its job perfectly with no risk, and the other one, when mixed together, brings about the public outcome, and because it still works, people refuse to use it because of its long history, even if there's a way to separate
it. Even though it works?
Even though it works, yes.
Interesting. And they can separate the isomers?
The isomers, yes, they can. They can separate the isomers.
Too bad.
The Hall-Héralt process turned what element, which was considered at one point to be semi-precious, into an item that's commonly used in almost everything today. Very hilarious story from American history.
Semi-precious, used in everything.
Used to be semi-precious. Now we found out it's basically all over the crust of the earth in a mineral called bauxite. Oh, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. You guys aren't even going to look at the U.S. map? Oh, that's not a periodic table.
Some help.
The British refer to it as a different name than...
Aluminium?
Yes, it's aluminium. Oh. Aluminium. Oh, or aluminum, if you will. In the beginning, because there was essentially no elemental aluminum in the crust, people are like, oh my gosh, it's semi-precious. And the image of the classic, what is it, the plastic strap folding chair that we all had? Yes. Like... on the terrazza of the Grand Hotel, and then like 2 years later, oh, like most of the Earth's crust is made of this. It has no value whatsoever. That was the end of that. So
it's more process. Reactive than that, huh?
Yes.
More likely to oxidize.
It's a good piece of Detroit Mercy trivia that I didn't know until I read this question here. What was the name of the Jesuit priest who graduated from Detroit Mercy in 1948? Whose revolutionary work in Honduras led to his disappearance there in 1983.
Father.
Saint.
Father. Not a saint.
Jerry Albright, but he didn't, you know, he didn't disappear.
So. Father Jerry's still here.
They talk about this guy on Democracy Now! A lot.
Do they?
I think so, if it's the same person I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
John.
He added... James? No, but it was James, Father James.
Oh, man.
He added Guadalupe to his name, even though it's a very, very, very Irish-sounding name. Yeah.
O'Brien?
No, it was Father James Francis Kearney, also known as Guadalupe, and he disappeared in 1983, never to be heard from again.
I don't think that's
sadly.
The same one.
So, yeah. Not,
what were the circumstances behind...
I'm sure.
But did he just wander off into the woods and just kind of like...
My guess is he was taken.
Was he in South America?
Yes, he was in Honduras.
Ah, okay.
Honduras.
So he could be in some curio cabinet right about now.
That reminds me that it's been quite a long time since my niece has called me on the phone. Of course, I could see that it's her, but when I answer, she goes, okay, listen carefully. You're about to be taken. I'm like, please don't do the Liam Neeson thing with me. It freaks me out. What are the three main types of attachment identified by Mary Ainsworth from 1970? Anybody remember? They start with the letters S, A, and R.
Attachment.
Like child attachment to a mother?
Yeah. I think it's psychological Velcro? Attachment. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hmm.
I remember learning
what were the letters?
In my psych class. I'm sorry, Joe.
What were the letters?
S, A, and R.
What, like?
Social?
Secure is the S, so I think that's more childlike.
Actual?
We can be attached but not actually want to deal with something. So that one's called, starts with the letter A.
Apathetic?
Close enough. Avoidant?
Avoidant.
Oh,
okay.
And the last one's resistant. We're moving on. Yes, secure, avoidant, and resistant. I don't even know if this is popular logic anymore. 1970 is just a long, long time ago. What can I say?
Yeah.
What's the famous phrase coined by René Descartes when deciding upon the reality of his existence?
I think, therefore I am.
Yes. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. What is the only U.S. president who earned both a Nobel Peace Prize and a Medal of Honor?
Jimmy Carter.
It doesn't say
that. Obama. Actually.
No, it doesn't say that either.
Oh, no.
Before their time.
Huh. Didn't he win Nobel Peace Prize, Obama?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I was thinking Jimmy Carter for... Peace
Prize. So Medal of Honor is connected, that's bestowed by Congress, right, for meritorious combat. So it would have to be a combat veteran as well.
Like Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Not Eisenhower, no.
He did a good job on the freeways, though.
Gotta say that.
Not on 696.
Yeah.
So this, my classic piece of trivia about this very interesting historical figure, obviously President of the United States, has passed away a number of years ago, is that when he wrote his memoirs, the joke was that he broke the letter I on his keyboard because he used it so much. As in
Teddy Roosevelt.
It was Teddy Roosevelt, absolutely, is who we're looking for. And while we think a little bit more about broken typewriters, we'll take a break.
A Nights and Ask the Professor. Flashback.
1995.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Yeah, hi, Edwin.
My gosh. Jeez. Right. And on Arthur's right, my left, from the Department of English, Professor Hugh Kulin.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. How did the hunting go?
I was with Greg. It's the first time he's tried it out.
That's right. And I got two, he got zero.
That was, but aside from other people we were hunting with, how'd we do on the deer?
Oh, we hit a couple coming
on the way back. On the way back, yep. Right. Run, Bambi, run.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
Mother.
Your mother's not coming back
Mother.
Anymore, Bambi.
She's in here with Rick.
And we are back, finishing up some questions from Detroit Mercy student Hayden Cunningham. And we've got some background info on Father Carney, because we get emails quite a bit here on campus from what's called CLASA, or CLASA, which is the Padre Guadalupe Carney Latin American Solidarity Archive, a rare collection of Spanish and English books, human rights reports, independent newspapers and newsletters, and also social justice papers. Basically, they are in commemoration of Father Guadalupe, who disappeared in the Honduras in 1983. So feel free to go check out the Detroit Mercy website if you want to learn more about CLASA and Father Carney. I'm embarrassed that I try to know as much as I can about our fair institution, and apparently I have way more to learn. Every autumn, these awards are given out to celebrate unusual or trivial achievements in scientific research. What are they?
Say that again.
Ooh. Every autumn, these awards are given out to celebrate unusual or trivial achievements in scientific research.
The
Ignatius? No, the Ignobles.
Ignoble Awards. Yes, the Ignoble Prizes.
Yep.
A systematic study of determining why buttered bread always falls butter side down. I mean, these
unless we have it strapped to a cat.
Yes, exactly. Then who knows which side will touch the ground first. We've had this one before. I'm looking in Kendra's direction, but it's a classic. What's the only letter of the English alphabet that doesn't appear on the periodic table as a symbol?
In the element, in the abbreviations, you mean?
Right,
right.
Yes.
Hmm.
It is
1 out of 26.
I will remind you again, the International Year of the Periodic Table, as
That's
designated
true, it is.
By the UN. Hashtag IYPT. 2019.
Huh.
It's the 150th anniversary
okay,
of Mendeleev's
periodic
table.
It's got to be one of the Scrabble table. Big boys, that's all.
Uh-oh.
ZX or Q?
It's not D. We have okay. things like dysprosium.
Yeah, I'm not familiar
is
with
like
dysprosium.
Is there a Q?
Yes, Alex.
I think. No, I'm freaking out here. There's got to be a Q. But there's no element that starts with Q. Is
but
it
there's
part
a Q
of a
in
symbol?
There.
Oh, there's got to be a Q as a second one. Does
yeah.
that include those weird ones at the bottom that are new?
Do you have the answer in front of you?
It's
not Q. I have a table in my wallet.
I know. We're card carrying.
It's not Q, though. It's not Q.
Oh.
No, it's
definitely
okay,
not Q.
So it's not Q. So
maybe it's J?
It's J is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a well-known piece of trivia, but I'm not doing too well. I can't think of an element that has a Q in it. This is killing me.
There's got to be one, though.
I'm going straight to my wallet, because, of course, all card-carrying ACS members.
It could be an inner-transition metal or something.
Let's see.
How did I know that one, Kendra? I was just periodic table.
I don't know.
Yeah, 22 years.
You're really good.
Yeah.
Just really good.
There's no Q. There
really?
Is no Q on the periodic table.
Because, like I said, I'm thinking it's got to be like.
So is the question flawed?
I believe the question
may
have.
So did Joe and I, we tag team on this one?
I do not know what to say.
We get bonus?
We need to do some research.
We automatically get the next question right.
Yeah, exactly. No, we'll take the hardest one first.
It is a little bit elemental here to finish off this set of questions.
No pun intended.
Why is the soil on Mars so red?
Iron?
Yeah, it's iron. A lot of iron oxide. Mostly it's just rust. Not from things rusting, but from, the way things are put together on that planet.
Sure.
Okay. Last set of questions here from one of your students, Kendra. It's from Adam Freeman. Today's topic, apparently, is bones. Who doesn't like bones? Bones are fun. What is the name / location of the smallest bone in a human skeleton?
It's in the ears, the hammer something?
Hammer anvil stirrup.
Yeah. It says stirrup. Okay. Yep, it's the stirrup in the ear, absolutely.
They actually have official names.
Yes. Yeah, not like the hip bone or the ear bone.
You know, I've heard this one before, and I'm so put off by the whole QJ thing. I want to get into an argument about this too. What's the name location of the largest bone in a human skeleton?
The femur?
The leg.
Mm-hmm. In the leg. But is that by mass? Does a pelvis have more mass than a femur? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Okay, because that's always sort of bugged me. Well, they're all full of holes, yeah. And they're porous. Last time I checked. Let's see. What's the only bone in the human body that does not touch any other bone? And where is that located?
Hyoid in the neck.
Yeah, that's what it says. A V-shaped bone located just beneath the chin or tongue. Is that where you're pointing?
Yep. So like when choking. People, this is not to get dark, but when people get strangled, they look to see if there's breakage of the hyoid.
I see. Not touching any other bone.
Nope, it's connected by cartilage.
I love it. Hyoid. That's just a fun word.
Yeah, I'm just thankful I didn't have to draw that for my anatomy class.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be great at drawing whatever you were given.
No, trust me, I wasn't that good in anatomy at all. So.
Funny. What is the difference between a tendon and a ligament?
One attaches muscle to muscle, and one attaches muscle to bone.
There we go.
I had to draw those, though.
Oh. Actually, it says here ligaments is bones to bones, and tendons is muscle to bones. Is that right?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's fine.
Okay. Sorry. Got it. Excellent.
Bone to bone, muscle to bone.
All right, let's see. The four subcategories of movable joints.
Yeah.
Medical marijuana.
I was waiting for someone to make the joke.
It's too obvious.
It says
right?
Movable joints.
Oh, movable joints. I don't know. I've seen some people move pretty quick.
Not after that.
Movable joints. Radial?
No.
Nope. I've gotten...
Ball and socket.
There's ball and socket. Condyloid. No, that's not one.
No, condyloid. I'm sorry. Ooh. Gliding is the translation.
Gliding,
ball and socket.
Hinge.
Hinge, that's what we got here.
And
taco cap.
No.
Darn.
The radius ulna one.
It says here it's called a pivot.
Pivot. Sorry.
Condyloid, though, I'm glad that was there. It's like gliding joints
are important. Sounds like a third race.
Where's an example of a gliding joint? Wrist?
No, like the... In the hand, the squares do this.
Okay.
And your thumbs.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. As an adult human, your skeleton basically has 206 bones. But how many does a child have?
Ooh, I think like 30 more.
No.
Is it? You fuse a few more together.
You do fuse them together. Yeah.
That's what it says here, but I've never heard I haven't heard the number lately, and it's big. It's a big difference.
Yeah, like I want to say it's like, no.
I'm saying 237?
No.
It's more too many?
Just waiting for everybody to guess and then Kendra to get it right.
Right.
I'm patiently waiting.
Somebody throw out it's another number. Come on.
273.
Still incorrect?
No, it's
Kendra?
I want to say like 402 or something weird like that.
Yeah, it's definitely more. It's not 402. It says here it's 300 bones, and they basically fuse together slowly. So that's how we get to 206.
And we have how many in the adults?
206. So 94 bones coming together.
If we live forever, we just turn to one big mass. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Of the 206 bones in an adult human, how many make up together hand, fingers, and wrist? It's multiple choice. 40, 45, 50, 55.
55.
Yeah.
It is. It's
go
54.
Big. Go big.
So yeah. 55 is the closest. That's incredible. That is, I know there's about a bajillion in your wrist.
There's like 8 in here.
Yep. That's crazy.
And for those of us got opposable thumbs on our feet, that's even more.
What is the primary difference between a male and a female skeleton?
The pelvis.
Yes.
Pelvis. Shape and angle. I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's see. Just a couple more here. As we're going through these questions from Detroit
Mercy.
For
the Leonard McCoy bones question here. That's all. I'm waiting.
These questions are from Adam Freeman, who is a biochemistry major here at Detroit Mercy.
Obviously non-Trekkie.
Located in the skull / mouth, this type of bone is said to be the strongest.
The mandible.
The maxilla?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The strongest?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I believe that there may be a dropped word here. Said to be stronger than bone is what it says.
A bone that's stronger than bone?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense either, does it?
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah, located in the skull or mouth,
gotcha.
This type of bone is said to be the strongest class of bone is what it says.
What, teeth enamel?
Tongue? Yeah, enamel is what it says.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the tongue is as strong as muscle.
Adam is also pre-dent.
Oh, he is pre-dent, so that would make sense. Yeah. Yeah. Stronger than bone is what they say about enamel. Yeah.
Sure,
okay.
Wear and tear. Last one from Adam. These have been pretty good. How many movable joints are there in your skull?
None. One.
Your jaw, yeah.
One is a fair, yeah. I didn't know whether
Does this count as two?
Yeah, two, you know, but
It's just the mandibular joint.
Mandible and maxilla, that's exactly what we heard. So we've come to the time of our show, which apparently my parents are a big fan of, this time in the show, not the show itself.
If you get it right.
Yeah, the favorite car that you're born. Right.
Where it's time for us to talk about favorites. And it's been a while, so why don't we let Professor Joe Abbasett, can you think of a favorite that we all could chime in about, Joe?
No pressure.
What's your favorite biased news source? No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh. It's all fake.
This show.
Your favorite.
Oh, there's the dead air. Come on, Joe.
I can't. I mean, I'm put on the spot.
I've put him on the spot. I
favorite.
Feel bad about
it. Did we do a place to visit where you'd most like to visit?
I think we did that one.
Oh, we did that one.
Was a recent show. I should have something in my back pocket. How about we go and we
he's got something.
Favorite best pitcher winner.
Favorite best pitcher winner?
Oscars? Yeah, from the Oscars.
Oh, okay. Is there a list of those anywhere? Wow. Check out.
What's the one you can remember? What one jumps
what
out?
What one can you remember?
Okay, never mind.
That's a starting point.
I'm just not good at movies.
My thing is that me and the Oscars just don't seem to see movies the same.
Actually, I was going to ask you guys. You guys want to come on down to the DIA and see the Oscar shorts?
Yeah, we saw the animated shorts last year.
Ooh.
Well, they showed the 5 live and 5 animated ones.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty
that's
quick
cool.
Show.
That's cool. When is that?
I've got the schedule at home. I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah, send
it's
it
a great
out.
Time. Super
very,
packed.
Very cool.
Okay,
thank God Joe didn't ask us about our favorite Oscar-nominated anime
for documentary or something like that.
I definitely wouldn't get that right.
Did Spaceballs make the list?
Coming
Shawshank
to America.
Shawshank Redemption. That's on the list.
Oh, there's a good one.
Oh, was that one?
That's a good one.
I don't think it was on the list.
No,
it was not nominated.
I'd vote for that one.
I thought it was nominated.
That was a good one.
I could be wrong.
For me, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That was the best picture winner.
That was one of my favorites.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Was Forrest Gump one?
Yeah, yes, but it's nominated, generally regarded as one of the weaker best picture winners.
I was just checking if there was one that I might know.
Yeah.
I already suggested Spaceballs.
Mind
the Academy and I did not agree.
If Professor Roach was here, Coming to America would have had to be nominated.
They're remaking that. It's
I know.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So
come on.
You guys are cracking me up.
Blanking.
I can't
totally.
Even remember if you said, Mayo, you will live if you get a chance to name the best picture winner from any of the last 5 years. I
the
would
artist.
No, what was that one that was? It was announced that the little dancing
one.
Yeah, and then it wasn't that one, and it was the moon one.
Moonlight.
Yeah, because La La Land was bad.
Oh my gosh.
No offense to anybody.
Moonlight was better.
Yeah,
but
Moonlight.
La La Land.
Oh my gosh,
wasn't awful.
Heart attack.
So Spaceballs wins.
Well, I can't think of any other thing except for whom the bell tolls, and apparently that is us. It's time to say goodbye, Dave.
See ya.
Joe.
Take care.
Stephanie.
Bye.
Kendra.
Adios.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.